All right, so today I want to discuss a topic that I want to bring awareness to, specifically because I don't think the mainstream dentistry and orthodontics have really given it much of a spotlight. So this is what I'm here today to discuss, and it's because I've been struggling with jaw dysfunction disorders myself. I've had two frenectomies to loosen a tongue tie. And one of the most important muscles in your entire craniofacial area is the tongue to hold up the upper jaw, which is the maxilla. And when you do this from a young age, you actually give your body, you give your face its potential to grow ideally, which is forward and horizontally. And now you see a lot of people actually having more of like a vertical growth where their jaw actually swings down. And a lot of times this is because they're not using their tongue properly from an early age. There's epigenetic factors that contribute to how your face grows. So you may think that, your face and how you look is genetic, it's set in stone, but actually the behaviors and the environment influence how you grow and how you develop. And this is especially true when you're young and you're growing. So the reason why I got into this, questioning the narrative of mainstream dentistry and orthodontics is because I felt that the treatments that I was getting, such as a night guard to help with my TMJ and teeth grinding and, physical therapy, I just felt like it really was not doing anything. Like I didn't feel any relief. In fact, I actually think that it made it worse. Like I honestly think that I started seeing weird changes in the proportions of my face from the night guard. And I stopped wearing it because I was like, it's not helping me, and it's actually making me look worse and feel worse, and my mouth is open because the night guard is so thick. Like I can't even close my mouth and like breathe through my nose properly at night. And I'm just like, what is going on? So this was like 2.5 years ago. I did some research. I found Dr. Michael Mew, who's in the United Kingdom, him and his dad, and so his family pioneered this this new concept of orthotropics, which really focuses more on the face, the jaw, and like the function and how it interacts with your tongue. I'll get into that more later and how it differs from orthodontist, but I was really relieved because everything he was saying was totally addressing what the questions that I had that were not answered from the doctors that I was going to. And I was super frustrated. I've had TMJ like almost my entire life because of my tongue being tied as a young kid, and then I had retainers, like I had wisdom teeth out because my mouth was too small. So all of those procedures that I had throughout my childhood definitely played a role in probably worsening my condition later on. And all the doctors completely neglected my tongue being tied. Like not one noticed that. So I finally brought it up to my orthodontist that I've been seeing forever, and he was like, "Yeah, you need to get it a frenectomy. You need to like they'll put a laser on it. It's not a big deal, and you'll be able to move your tongue better." It's like, "Well, why didn't you think of that before? Like I have these jaw problems and then this huge underlying problem of a tongue tie." So I was pretty frustrated with that. And then when I found Dr. Michael Mew, the last name is spelled Mew. You can find him online on YouTube. He has has a ton of videos. You just type in what your specific issue is, whether it's like maybe it's sleep apnea, maybe it's an overbite, whatever it is, he really addresses everything. But the main thing that he talks about is the tongue posture and how it should be positioned in the mouth. And most people are positioning their tongue on the bottom of their mouth rather than the roof of their mouth, the upper palate where it's supposed to be. So that's why you see people with these like down swing jaw, like their face doesn't look, the proportions look off, and it's usually because there's some sort of issue with the development of the jaw. It didn't develop to its fullest potential. So tongue pastor is extremely important, and I think that I really wanted to get this word out so parents could start really paying attention to their kids and how they're using their tongue, and hopefully they'll be able to maybe see a myofunctional therapist or someone that can kind of train them. There's exercises you can do with your tongue if you see a myofunctional therapist, but these are extremely important to do at a young age. So tongue posture is extremely important. And when your tongue is placed on the roof of your mouth and you have it there while you're sleeping or while you're pretty much all day long, unless you're talking or eating, your tongue should be on the roof of your mouth. Your mouth should be closed and you should be breathing through your nose. The more you breathe from your nose, the better oxygen, the higher oxygen saturation you'll have. And actually, Dr. Michael Mew believes that the function of the face is synonymous to how well you look, like how attractive you are, because if you notice that, like, people like Angelina Jolie, for example, if you look at her jawline, it's so well developed. Like, you wouldn't think that she'd have any, like, orthodontic issues, but it's obvious that she's a subconscious nose breather for sure. So she was probably born, you know, with a good tongue, and she was subconsciously putting it on the roof of her mouth. Or if not, then I need the number to whoever did her dental work as a kid. So yeah, I mean, orthotropics is probably going to address your dental issues from a more, like, holistic perspective, because these things are really important. Tongue posture, whether the tongue is too big for the mouth or not, that's also a big problem. The narrow palate, which is your maxilla, your upper jaw, many people have very narrow palates. And compared to our ancestors, our jaw is shrinking. And it probably has a lot to do with our modern lifestyle of processed foods. So Dr. Weston A. Price, he was a dentist, and he traveled the world and compared jaws and teeth and bites to those that were, you know, indigenous tribes that were eating their traditional diets versus, you know, people that started eating processed foods. And the differences are, it's like day and night. The people that ate their indigenous foods, their traditional diets, they had perfect teeth, perfect bites, wide jaws, great symmetry, you know, symmetrical faces, everything that you'd want to see, no cavities. And then the people that started eating these Western foods, like the refined foods, they started developing cavities, missing teeth, overbites, malocclusion, jaw problems. So nutrition itself definitely plays a role, not just because of the nutrient density of the foods. For example, if you need fat-soluble vitamins to grow your bones correctly, like vitamin A. And I'm not talking about beta carotene from carrots and whatever, spinach. I'm talking about real vitamin A retinol from animal foods. And you need D3, which you can get from the sun or animal foods, like, you know, beef liver, eggs, or you also need vitamin K2. That's also really important. You can really only get that in animal foods. So those are the most nutrient dense foods for bone growth. But the other aspect of the nutrient part, and the argument for nutrition, is that the texture of, I guess, whole foods and animal foods is definitely a lot tougher than refined foods in the Western diet. So, for example, what do babies eat now after they're done breastfeeding or having their formula? They'll have baby food, like pureed soft baby food, which is junk. There's probably no nutrients in it. And it probably has soybean oil or just high fructose corn syrup. So that's not going to help. And before baby food, they were eating real food when they were done breastfeeding, which trained the muscles, their mastication muscles, their masseter in the jaw, to pull on the jawbone and grow in the forward position. Our faces are supposed to grow forward and horizontal, not down. So, and I think this is a big reason why people get, you know, cosmetic filler injections to kind of give like an illusion of a jawline, because their, you know, their bone isn't strong enough. It's not prominent enough because they didn't grow to their fullest potential, because whether they have a tongue issue or an issue with the way that their palate is, we don't know, but I think that could be a big opportunity there for plastic surgeons and anyone that's injecting to really integrate with holistic dentists, holistic, you know, orthotropic specialists like Dr. Michael Mew, to say, hey, like, this person came in for a filler. Maybe they have some underlying issue that's, you know, causing their face to sag downwards. You know, people are getting PDO threads and facelifts to lift their face up, the bottom of their face, their mid-face cheek and jaw region. And that's probably because they have, you know, more skin sagging because they have more skin than bone volume. Their bone volume is too low. It's not proportionate to the volume of skin they have. So the skin becomes loose looking, and that's why people get facelifts. So, you know, a functional face, one that's working properly, growing forward, and, you know, allowing for your airways to be open so you can breathe through your nose, is an attractive face. And this is Dr. Michael Mew's whole, this is his whole, like, philosophy. And if you look at the work that he's done on compared to someone that's gotten just traditional orthodontics, you really notice a difference in proportions. You know, it might be subtle for some people, but even a few millimeters can make a difference in your overall appearance. And beauty and attractiveness is math. And apparently so is the function of our faces. So I think it's really interesting. And I think people, you know, really need to start paying attention to this, especially if they're having kids. And I really think that we can prevent our future generations from developing these issues if we're aware of it from, you know, an early age. So that's really why I wanted to do this podcast today. I'll probably be touching up on more things as I keep doing my research on it. But look up Dr. Michael Mew on YouTube and look up Weston A. Price. They also have a podcast. And the book that I read was Physical Degeneration, I believe, by Weston A. Price. So those are the two doctors that I look up to and idolize when it comes to this topic of orthotropics. Orthotropics really challenges the narrative of orthodontists, which is, orthodontist is just about moving teeth and making teeth look straight. They don't really address the way your whole face looks. Like, you're not going to, I mean, maybe some holistic dentists do, but it's not really the norm. However, orthotropics asks the question, like, why are people's teeth crooked in the first place? Like, what's going on here? If we know the reason, maybe we can prevent it from getting worse. Maybe we can fix it in a way that doesn't involve all these crazy procedures. So anyway, I hope you gained some knowledge. And if you have any questions, send me an email, lexi@nutrition.intuition.com. I'll put my email in the notes. And my Instagram handle is @holistic_lexi, L-E-X-I. I'm also going to leave you some links in the notes for this podcast so you can get a discount on Kettle and Fire bone broth. They use really good, high-quality grass-fed bones to simmer their bone broth, and it's organic, so I really do trust them, and it's just a great way to get some protein in for pretty low calories. Not that I really care about calories, but, you know, it's another way to get some protein in, and it's really good for you. It's good for your hair, your skin, your joints. We need collagen, so drink your bone broth. And also, I'm also going to put a link for a skincare brand, which I love. As you know, I'm, like, insane about what I put in my body, what I put on my body. Like, if you're not going to eat it, don't put it on your skin kind of thing. Melina, New York. So it's a New York-based brand. And I love that they don't put any endocrine disruptors in anything. I use their deodorant. I use their face cream. Their deodorant is obviously, there's no heavy metals in it. There's, it's not antiperspirant. It's just deodorant. And it smells really good. And it, for me, it actually works pretty well. Like, the smell, like, it just, I think it smells good. Anyway, they also have some SPF, which doesn't have any carcinogens or endocrine disruptors in it. It uses the non-nano zinc oxide. And I'm not really big on sunscreen either, but I do think that if you're out in the sun all day, like, you know, if you can't really avoid it with a hat, it is good to wear a little bit. Like, you know, I put some on my face if I don't want it to get too much sun. I do think that it's good to expose your body to sun without any, you know, blockade in between it, because we really do benefit from the sun, you know, absorbing the sun, getting that vitamin D and everything. So those two links will be in my notes for this section, and have a great day. Till next time.